time for school. Rock School with your hosts, Dr. Joe Burns.
So when you played the 45 to American Pie,
yeah,
it went about 4 minutes.
Oh, no, and then you had to flip it over.
Right.
And Chad P.
Little four-seater.
Plane that looked like it was built from tiddlywinks.
That's right, a little four-seater.
Class is in.
Rock School. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Joe Burns. We are broadcasting from the campus of Southeastern Louisiana University. I am a professor in the communication department. Sitting to my immediate right, as always, is
Chad P.
He is a former student of mine and one who must learn.
You'd think I would have
by this point in time, you would think. When did we do the first one of these Rock School shows?
Oh, Rock School goes back to, I think, April of 2007.
Somewhere in there. And if you remember when we first pitched this show to the guy who runs this radio station.
We'll call him Todd.
Todd, yeah. I pitched a lot of ideas.
Yeah.
One of the ideas was, what do the lyrics to American Pie mean?
I remember that.
As clear
crystal
as
clear.
Yeah, that's
yes,
right.
I remember that.
This is the first twofer show of 2008. What do the lyrics of American Pie mean?
And there's a lot of them. That song's like 8 minutes long.
8 minutes and a bunch.
Yeah.
So this is from almost the beginning of my time in radio. I mean, I loved this song from I Can't Tell You How When. Don McLean, born October 2nd, 1945, New Rochelle, New York. He put out the album American Pie in 1971. It's an album of the same name, if you remember it. Don McLean is on the front. You see him sort of in reprose on the back of the album. He's got his right hand, I think, forward, and his thumb is painted with a star and then some red and white stripes.
Cool.
This thing sat at number one for 4 weeks in 1972, and I owned the 45.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you can't get 8 minutes of song on 145. So when you played the 45 to American Pie,
yeah,
it went about 4 minutes.
Oh, no, then you had to flip it over.
Right. It faded out. You flipped it over, and then it faded back up, and you had the whole thing. So what do the lyrics to American Pie mean? Don McLean has been next to no help whatsoever, and there are websites galore. When I was in radio, this was one of those late night, we have been working forever, we're all, you know, just punch drunk, what does it mean? And we start throwing all these things around. I have put together, over my years in radio and over my research, what I think they mean.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to use the next 2 hours, this show, next week's show, to tell you what I think the lyrics to American Pie mean.
Question.
Yeah.
When he wrote it, do you think that there was a possibility that he said, okay, and, you know, deep down inside, I'm not going to offer any insight to what the song means.
Guarantee it.
And I predict that it will give people fits for years and years to come.
Guarantee it, because I can tell you where it came from. Because he looked at another song that did exactly that,
okay,
and copied it.
Ah.
Stay with me.
Cool.
Now, let me tell you what Don McLean has said about the song.
What's that?
He has said this. It is semi-autobiographical.
Mm-hmm.
He has said he was a paperboy.
Yeah.
He said he wrote the song in the late 1960s.
Okay.
He has stated that the line, "This'll be the day that I die," is a reference to Buddy Holly.
All right.
In a 1972 interview with Casey Kasem on the show America's Top 40, he admitted two things.
What's that?
The jester, where he says the jester in a sideline on the cast,
uh-huh,
that's Bob Dylan.
All right.
The flame that grew higher into the night is Altamont.
Okay.
And I'll tell you what Altamont is. The album American Pie is dedicated to Buddy Holly.
Okay.
We know two things that aren't true.
What's that?
Number one, American Pie is not the name of the airplane that crashed carrying Holly, Valens, and the Big Bopper.
Oh, okay.
It was not the name or some strange conflagration of the name of the pilot. The pilot's name was Roger Peterson.
Okay.
The name of the plane was only its tail number, which was N3974N.
Yeah, it was just like a little bitty
little four-seater.
Plane that looked like it was built from tiddlywinks.
That's right, a little four-seater. Okay. American Pie is not a reference to a pizza that was served in Don McLean's hometown. Other than that, that's all we know for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, it's all speculation. So let's hear it. We're going to hear the song. We're going to come back. I'm going to tell you where it came from, where the idea of writing such a song came from. And then we'll begin to go line by line. This is it.
And that should give you a good estimate, too. It's going to take two shows, two hours to break this 8-minute song down.
Easily. Don McLean, American Pie.
A long, long time ago, I can still remember how that music used to make me smile. And I knew if I had my chance that I could make those people dance, and maybe they'd be happy for a while. But February,
singing, this'll be the day that I die.
Everybody knows it.
I gotta tell you.
There you go. The day the music died, this will be the day that I die.
I feel like I'm gonna die.
It goes on for a while, doesn't it?
And I mean, as an added degree of difficulty, he doesn't break off into an instrumental or anything like that.
At any point in time,
it's
no.
It's just lyrics over and over and over.
Now, where did it come from? Where did the concept of this song? Let's write a song where the lyrics are a trick, where there is a concept of, I don't really know where it comes from. Well, Don McLean, at the point of writing the song, he said he wrote the song in the late 1960s, and of course it was on the 1971 album American Pie.
Mm-hmm.
Don McLean had already had a hit before American Pie. Castles in the Air was the hit from his debut album, Tapestry.
Okay.
Well, the sophomore album was coming out, and that's always the hardest, and he looked around and said, okay, who's big? Who's big? Who's having the hits? Well, the biggest one at the time was a woman named Bobby Gentry.
Okay.
Bobby Gentry was a singer-songwriter from Chickasaw County, Mississippi, who had moved out to California. And she had a song called Ode to Billy Joe. And Ode to Billy Joe Billy Joe, J-O-E. No, Billy Joe.
Okay.
And Billy Joe died the day that Billy Joe McAllister jumped off the Tallahatchie Bridge.
Okay.
And the question in the song is always, why did Billy Joe die? And there's a line in there that says, because this little girl, the whole way through it, this mother's talking to this girl, and it's pretty obvious through the song that this girl is in love with Billy Joe.
Okay.
And this nice little preacher man is supposed to marry this girl. You glean this from the song. And the preacher man says, he saw you and Billy Joe up on Choctaw Ridge, and you two were throwing something off the Tallahatchie Bridge. Well, the question is always, well, why did this guy kill himself? Well, what were you throwing off of that bridge? And the song never explains what the situation is. Most people believe that they were throwing a baby off of the bridge. And by the way, this Bobby Gentry did not shy away from nasty topics. She has another song called Fancy that was a hit that Reba McEntire redid it.
Fancy.
Yeah, it's about
one
a woman.
Chance, Fancy, don't let me down.
That's right. It's about a woman selling her daughter into prostitution.
Yep. Beautiful.
Yeah, so Bobby Gentry did not shy away from topics. The song was made into a movie a little while later that had Bobby Gentry actually as one of the producers, and the movie suggested that Billy Joe jumped off of the bridge because he was homosexual.
Oh.
So there's no real answer to it. And what happened was Don McLean listened to the song and said, that's what I want to do. I want to write a song that has that kind of a concept. I'm not going to tell you what it means. You draw your own conclusion. So why did Billy Joe McAllister jump off the Tallahatchie Bridge? Here's Bobby Gentry. You decide on Rock School.
It was the 3rd of June, another sleepy, dusty Delta day. I was out chopping cotton and my brother was baling hay. And at dinner time we stopped and walked back to the house to eat. And Mama hollered at the back door, y'all remember?
Okay, now you tell me, Chad P. why does Billie Jo jump off that bridge? Why does she go to the Choctaw Ridge? Why does she throw flowers into the muddy water off? Why did he kill himself?
I feel guilty about that's a, why I think...
They threw a baby, didn't they?
I believe that they had a baby.
They threw a baby, didn't they?
Out of wedlock, and that was their... method of abortion. So
there you go. There you go. We're coming back, and
oh
I'm going to tell
God.
You how about
I'm
that.
I'm not going to be able to sleep tonight.
We're coming back. I'm going to tell you the story of the winter dance party, the day the music died, and we will begin with the lyrics to American Pie in 1 minute on Rock School.
Programming on KSLU is underwritten in part by Home Theater Etc. With the Super Bowl right around the corner, Home Theater Etc. has various brands of flat panel displays, including Pioneer Elite, Sharp, LG, Sony, and many others. You can even inquire about special home theater projectors that display a 120-inch screen. Home Theater Etc. is located at West Morris Street across from Florida Parish's Bank. The telephone number is area code 985-340-7777. Home Theater Etc., a proud supporter of 90.9 FM KSLU.
This is Rock School as we talk about the lyrics to American Pie. But before we get there, let's talk about the three people that actually died. Buddy Holly, Ritchie Valens, Big Bopper.
Yep.
What's the story? Generally, people, when they're asked, what do the lyrics to American Pie mean? Oh, it's the story of the death of those three guys. El Rongo.
No, no.
It is the story of what happened after they died.
Okay.
Listen to the lyrics. It's not the story of their death. It's the story of what happened after their death.
We were just talking about this not too long ago on the instrumental show. Because
right.
One of my all-time favorite movies with Lou Diamond Phillips. Talking
is
about the
story
life
of
Ritchie Valens.
Ritchie Valens.
And I know this story so well based
let
on
me tell
the,
it again.
What they did with the movie.
Yeah, let me tell it again. The Winter Dance Party was a tour that was set to cover 24 Midwestern cities in 1959.
Yep.
The main people were Buddy Holly, mm-hmm. Ritchie Valens, J.P. Richardson. That was the Big Bopper. Mm-hmm. He was a disc jockey out of Texas.
One of them was from Louisiana, right?
Not sure. Buddy Holly was from Texas. Ritchie Valens, I believe, was from California. J.P. Richardson was from Texas. Dion DiMucci, who was Dion and the Belmonts, was from New York.
Okay,
those were the four headliners.
Right. I thought somebody was from Louisiana.
I'm not so sure about that. I'd have to check it out.
Okay.
The Surf Ballroom in Clear Lake, Iowa, was where they played the night before everybody died. And by the way, that was never intended to be a stop on the tour.
Uh-huh.
A lot of times when tours are going along, they have off nights.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's a little tiny town you can play somewhere else for like half price or something like that, they'll fly up there or they'll drive the bus up there and bango. The night they played was February 2nd, mm-hmm. 1959.
Hey, wait a minute. The day the music died's Feb 3rd.
Stay with me. The next stop on the tour was supposed to be an armory in Moorhead, Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the heater on the bus wasn't working.
Correct.
Holly hadn't washed his clothes in a long time. And because Clear Lake, Iowa apparently rolled up the streets at 5 o'clock at night, there wasn't a place to wash your clothing. So Buddy Holly chartered a plane. It was a little Beechcraft Bonanza, single-engine aircraft, four-seater, three people and the pilot.
Mm-hmm.
Right. $36 per person. The original passengers were supposed to be Holly and the two bandmates.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Big Bopper had the flu, so Waylon Jennings gave up his seat. And by the way, this part is true. This some people say, well, that's an urban myth. It's not. The Big Bopper joked to Jennings, I hope your bus freezes. Jennings joked back, I hope your plane crashes.
Wow.
And Jennings stated that it was one of the reasons he became an alcoholic, and it took him years
to
get over saying that.
Is the part in the movie where they flipped a coin?
Yes.
And Valens won? Is that
yes.
true?
Yes. As a matter of fact, Valens flipped a coin with who was supposed to be the third person on there, Tammy Alsup.
Mm-hmm.
He was a cricket. However, the coin flip did not take place on the tarmac. The coin flip took place at the site of the dance party.
Okay.
There in Clear Lake.
They just added that in for dramatic purposes.
Dramatic effect. The plane took off 1 a.m. February 3rd. That's how
February
it becomes
3rd.
Right. 1959.
February 3rd.
That's right. From Mason City Municipal Airport, Iowa, it traveled 5 miles. The NTSB stated the cause of the crash. Roger Peterson, the pilot, was not rated for nighttime flight nor winter flight. Just the plane got up. It didn't gain enough altitude and went straight into the ground, rolled. And when it rolled, it threw the passengers out, killing them all.
Wow.
Here are the people that died that way that day. Number one, Ritchie Valens.
Arriba y arriba.
Rock School with Donna's boyfriend. Yeah. Ricardo Valens. He was 18 when he died.
Yep.
Ah, can you believe it?
We were talking about it off mic. Just a good, good guy.
A flat-out good guy, yeah. Bridged racial relations back then. Mm-hmm. Really did.
Yep.
The next guy wrote a song, sang a song about a type of looped lace, normally with flowers, from a little section of France. It's called Chantilly lace. Here's the big bopper on Rock School.
Hello, baby. Yeah, this is the big bopper speaking. Oh, you sweet thing. Do I want? Will I want? Oh, baby, you know what I like. Chantilly lace and a pretty face and a ponytail. Like a long neck loser, like a girl. Oh, baby, that's what I like.
Good stuff, man.
Yeah, this is Rock School as we go through the lyrics to American Pie.
That's right.
And by the way, when are you guys going to get to the lyrics of American Pie? Welcome to them. By the way, we're going to skip the stumps
and all of that special show.
We're going to continue just straightforward with the lyrics. If you wish to come see us, we do have an email address and we do have a website.
Yep.
Real quickly, website kslu.org. When you arrive there, there's a Rock School little clipper or a little chalkboard on the right-hand side. Click on it. You can get old shows and all that good stuff right-hand side.
Mm-hmm.
Let us begin. Hey, wait a minute. You're not playing Buddy Holly. You said three people died on the day the music died. I know. I'm getting there. It begins. This is what the first section sounds like. There are numerous verses.
Okay.
It begins. I'm going to go line by line, and when a song pops up that's needed, we'll play it.
All right.
But line by line, many people go, well, the lyrics are about the death of Buddy Holly. Only the first verse and the refrain are about the death of Buddy Holly.
All right.
Why? What about Valens and Bopper? You got to understand, this really is for Buddy Holly.
Uh-huh.
When you're talking about American Pie, you're talking about Buddy Holly. So, begin.
Okay.
A long, long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
What does he mean? Well, it happened in 1959. He wrote the song.
Ago.
Right. He wrote the song in late 1960s. So it's almost a decade or more.
Yeah.
I can still remember how that music used to make me smile.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think that one's pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
And I knew if I had my chance, well, that makes sense. This mm-hmm. is a young man. He wants to become a songwriter. That I could make those people dance.
Yeah.
Remember, where were these people before they perished in this plane crash?
They were at that show.
The winter dance
mm-hmm.
party.
All right.
And maybe they'd be happy for a while.
Yeah.
And that's, I think it is a reference to a concert.
Mm-hmm.
But February made me shiver.
It's well, cold. It's cold in February.
And in what month did it happen?
February.
February, right. With every paper I'd deliver.
You said he used to be a paper boy.
Don McLean used to be a paper boy.
All right.
Bad news on the doorstep.
Yeah.
Well, I think that makes sense. He was a paper boy. Where does the paper land?
Right.
I couldn't take one more step.
Okay.
I can't remember if I cried. Okay, well, his idol has died.
Mm-hmm.
When I read about his widowed bride. This is the first line that takes a little bit of research. Whose widowed bride? Buddy Holly's widowed bride.
Uh-huh.
When Buddy Holly died, he had been married to a woman named Maria Elna for less than a year at that point in time.
Mm-hmm.
The thing about it is, the marriage was kept silent for one reason.
What's that?
It was an interracial marriage.
Oh, wow.
And she was pregnant.
Mm.
And she had a miscarriage very soon afterwards.
I see.
But something touched me deep inside, and then he coins the term, the day the music died.
The day the music
died. So the first verse simply describes what has happened.
Mm-hmm.
So now the refrain.
Okay.
So bye-bye, Miss American Pie. Well, what does it mean? What does bye-bye, Miss American Pie mean? I think it's innocuous. I think it is just the concept, goodbye, Apple Pie America.
Uh-huh.
I think that's what it means.
Basically, things are changing.
That's right. Things are changing. It used to be good.
Mm-hmm.
Drove my Chevy to the levee. Chevy.
An American car.
An American car. Mm-hmm. I believe that. Now, here's the levee. The levee, what are you talking about? Well, we're from New Orleans. The levee to us is a big giant pile of dirt. Wrongo.
What's the levee?
The levee is a bar. in New Rochelle, New York, where he used to be, where he used to grow up.
Oh, it makes sense now.
Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry.
They were out of alcohol?
No, he was too young to drink.
Oh, it makes so much sense.
But the levee was dry. Now listen to this next line. And them good old boys were drinking whiskey in rye. Okay. Rye, New York.
Okay.
Not whiskey and rye. Nobody drinks rye anymore. Mm-hmm. In rye. Rye, New York. Singing, "This'll be the day that I die." It's a drinking song. It's a wake. This'll be the day that I die. This'll be the day that I die. What could that be referencing? This'll be the day that I die. This'll be the day that I die. This'll be the day that I die.
Well, that'll be the day when you say goodbye. Yes, that'll be the day when you make me cry. You say you're gonna leave. You know it's a lie, 'cause that'll be the day when I die. Well, you give me all your loving and your dirt of loving. All your hugs and kisses. Money too, well, you know you love me, baby. Still, you tell me maybe that someday, well, I'll be through. Well, that'll be the day when you say goodbye. Yeah. That'll be the day.
There you go.
Everything, the stars are starting to line up.
Doesn't it make sense?
It makes perfect sense.
Yeah, so Miss American Pie is simply the concept of life used to be good.
Mm-hmm.
Life used to be good. Let's go to the second verse. It starts to go wrong in this second verse. Now, you see, his hero is dead.
Mm-hmm.
Buddy Holly has died away, and in the second verse, people start to stick their nose in that he doesn't like. And this second verse references two songs.
Okay.
So we're very quickly going to say the line that has the song, play it, come back and finish it up.
What is it?
Luckily, the first verse has the first song.
Okay.
Did you write the book of love? Here you go. This is the song he's talking about, Monotones, 1958. We'll come back and tell you why he cares about the book of love.
I wonder who wrote the book of love.
Barbershop quartet there.
That's Monotones. Great stuff. That's, again, you, when you listen to that old rock and roll stuff, there was just something, and you were pointing this out to me earlier, there's just something about how, I don't know, polite,
mm-hmm.
safe,
yeah.
nice it was.
It looked like good, clean fun.
Yeah.
And I'm so envious whenever I see it depicted on television. I want to go there.
Yeah,
I want to go there to just have some fun.
Yeah. So why the Monotones Book of Love? It sets date. When you go through each one of these verses in American Pie, the first line of each verse sets date. It tells you what date he happens to be talking about.
So it's like a timeline through
you
the whole song.
You got it. That's exactly what it is. In 1958, the Monotones released Book of Love.
Okay.
So we're in 1958 here.
Gotcha.
Now, did you write the Book of Love, and do you have faith in God above?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he just wrote that because it rhymes.
Yeah.
Oh, no. No. Listen to the next run.
What is it?
Did you write the Book of Love, and do you have faith in God if the Bible tells you so? Do you believe in rock and roll? Can music save your mortal soul? Don Cornell wrote a song in 1955 called How Do I Know the Bible Tells Me So?
Mm-hmm.
I believe that what Don McLean is upset about here is the concept of rock and roll had lost its purity. And a lot of people who were religious were beginning to stick their noses into it and say that this is the devil's music.
Mm-hmm.
You know, blues,
yeah.
jazz,
yeah.
You know, pick whatever music was popular at the time. Devil's music.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it happens now that rock and roll was starting to be the devil's
music.
We'll
pick on you.
We'll pick on you next. And can you teach me how to dance real slow? Now, I don't know what it was like when you were growing up, but when I was growing up, slow dancing had spectacular spectacular importance in my school. Yeah. Was it the same with yours?
So-so.
It was unbelievably important in my school, especially high school and below.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I know that you're in love with him because I saw you dancing in the gym,
mm-hmm.
which says to me he's still in high school.
Yeah, because most high school dances were in the gym.
That's right, in the gym with all that bad, you know, paper and foil.
Yep, hanging from the basketball goal.
You got it. You both kicked off your shoes.
Sock hops.
You got it. See, once you start to deconstruct this, it all starts to make a little bit of sense.
Nice.
Now, here's the next line. Most people listen to this line and they go, man, I dig those rhythm and blues. Well, so what? I like rhythm and blues too. Whoa.
Okay.
We're at 1958. Rhythm and blues was keyword for African American.
See.
An African American at the time had a bad connotation. Mm-hmm. There were these things called race records.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I remember you telling me about
that. That's right. And when we did a show not too long ago
On banned music,
race records were seen as bad.
Yeah.
And they brought in people like Pat Boone to re-record songs like Tutti Frutti.
From Little Richard,
because Little Richard was on Specialty, which was a race record label.
Yeah.
And you had to bring in these squeaky clean guys. You couldn't have, you know, get out in that kitchen and rattle those pots and pans by the original blues artist. You had to have it done by, you know, squeaky clean Bill Haley and the Comets.
Yeah.
So when he says in this song, man, I dig those rhythm and blues, he's making a social statement. I know that sounds weird,
mm-hmm.
but that's what that line does.
Hmm.
I was a lonely teenage bronkin' buck with a pink carnation and a pickup truck. That's a weird statement, a pink carnation and a pickup truck. Where did that come from? Marty Robbins, 1957. At that point in time, the most handsome you could possibly be in America was a white sport coat, a pink carnation, and an American pickup truck on Rock School.
A white sport coat and a pink carnation.
Carnation and a white sport coat. Marty Robbins from 1957. Let me finish out the verse. I'll start back a little bit. Man, I dig those rhythm and blues.
Yeah.
I was a lonely teenage bronkin' buck, young man, strong, you know, throwing elbows,
mm-hmm.
with a pink carnation and a pickup truck. Did you hear he was getting ready during the song? He was getting ready for a dance.
Yep.
But I knew I was out of luck. Well, why is he out of luck?
Why?
His idol is gone. The day of, as you talked about, innocence. Is gone. The day the music died, I started singing. No longer is it the guys at the bar. Now I started singing. We're going to go on to verse 3. We're going to move 10 years into the future as verse 3 begins in 1 minute on Rock School.
Programming on KSLU is underwritten in part by Home Theater Etc. With the Super Bowl right around the corner, Home Theater Etc. has various brands of flat panel displays, including Pioneer, Elite, Sharp, LG, Sony, and many others. You can even inquire about special home theater projectors that display a 120-inch screen. Home Theater Etc. is located at West Morris Street across from Florida Parish's Bank. The telephone number is area code 985-340-7777. Home Theater Etc., a proud supporter of 90.9 FM KSLU.
This is Rock School as we talk about the lyrics to American Pie and what do they mean. We've gone all the way through the song. We've gone through the back run of the song. We've gone through the story of Buddy Holly and the death of the day the music died, Big Bopper, Richie Valens. We've gone through verses 1 and 2. We will begin with verse 3. As my clock shows, we have 11 minutes left. I will get as far as I can through verse 3. I doubt I'll finish it. Wherever we stop, we'll pick up next week.
Yep.
I guarantee you we'll get through the entire show. We will tell you what every lyric means. We begin with verse 3. Now for 10 years, we've been on our own.
There's your timeline.
What did I say about the first line?
It establishes a date.
It's probably 1969 now, 10 years after the death.
All right.
10 years we've been on our own. And moss grows fat on a rolling stone. Stones. Rolling Stones. Well, why would moss grow fat on the Rolling Stones? Well, they moved to France to not pay taxes. That sounds kind of dumb. Jimi Hendrix. Well, he states it in a couple of his songs. He talks about Rolling Stones. Nah, he's talking about Brian Jones, the former Rolling Stone who died on July 10th. 1969.
Wow.
He drowned. The next line, how do I know it's, or why do I think it's Brian Jones?
What?
Because the next line says, but that's not how it used to be. Reiterating, my music heroes didn't dope themselves to death.
Everything's changed.
Now for 10 years we've been on our own and moss grows fat on a Rolling Stone, but that's not how it used to be. Here's Brian Jones with the Stones, Paint It Black on Rock School. Side of verse three on Rock School.
I got to tell you,
yeah.
Out of all the lectures I've ever sat through from you, this
from
is,
me?
Yeah, this is probably the most enjoyable. I am learning stuff,
and
it's just a wonderful experience.
Good, I'm glad you're enjoying it. We are rolling through What Do the Lyrics of American Pie Mean? We are inside of verse three. We just finished up now for 10 years. We've been on our own. Moss grows fat on a Rolling Stone, but that's not how it used to be. Now, we move along. We got time for one more song, so
yep.
I'm not going to finish the verse. I'm just going to get to this.
Okay.
When the jester sang for the king and queen. Well, we already know who the jester is.
That's Bob Dylan.
That's right. Don McLean already said that. Well, who's the king and queen? Well, on his first trip to London, Bob Dylan sang his first gig at a pub called The King and Queen. That could be it.
Okay.
Dylan also sang at the Martin Luther King's Day March in Washington. That's
King.
Where he did the I Had a Dream speech. That's King.
Mm-hmm.
He sang with Joan Baez. That could be the Queen.
Yeah.
He could have also performed for the King and Queen in London. That would be just literally.
Yeah.
Maybe even he's talking about President and Jackie Kennedy. They were said to have watched him on TV. So it could be any one of those.
I see.
I'm guessing he actually meant the King and Queen pub in London. That's what I think.
Makes the most sense.
In a coat he borrowed from James Dean. That one's easy.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the coat from the Rebel Without a Cause movie and then look at Bob Dylan's second album, it's called The Freewheelin' Bob Dylan, he's wearing that coat on the front cover.
Oh, there you go.
In a voice that came from you and me, Bob Dylan has been called the voice of the people since he started actually putting out music.
The voice of you and me. We're the people.
The voice of you and me. The voice of the people. We end on this one. We will pick it up right here next week. This is from the album The Freewheelin' Bob Dylan. We're going to finish with one of his most famous folk songs. This is called The Masters of War. My name is Joe Burns.
I'm Chad P.
Be right here this time next week, and we will finish up the lyrics to American Pie on Rock School. Classes dismissed.
Come, you masters of war, you that build the big guns, you that build the death planes, you that build all the bombs, you that hide behind walls, you that hide behind discs, I just don't want you to know I can see through you.